Hello and welcome from Open Clinica. My name is Brian Farrow and I'm joined today by my colleague, Project Manager Brittany Stark. Brittany, can I ask you a few questions about e-consent, the topic of our panel at this year's SCDM conference?
Sure.
Why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about your clinical trial career and where it's intersected with consent?
Sure. So, Brian, working in the professional services department here at Open Clinica, we get a variety of projects involving e-consent. Prior to joining Open Clinica, I worked at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in their cancer clinical trials office, where I worked as a clinical research coordinator, later in the regulatory affairs department, and then as a clinical trial staff educator, all involving different aspects of either the education of informed consent and documentation or collection.
Great, thank you. For the sake of brevity, I'll assume our audience is familiar with the basics of e-consent and steer our conversation toward the advantages and obstacles associated with it. Let's start with the obstacles. A common one is the anticipated resistance of review boards. Brittany, why might an IRB resist e-consent?
Well, they're used to paper-based methods with an established precedent.
Well, fair enough, but why should they consider embracing e-consent?
E-consent has the potential to enhance patient understanding by means of an e-learning experience that is engaging and informative. This can be achieved through the use of graphics, interactive tutorials, videos, or even quizzes tapping into their understanding of the study. An e-consent form can guide a patient through this experience, step by step, only presenting a signature box at the end of the exercises. Paper-based methods, on the other hand, can allow for corners to be cut.
Well, that sounds terrific. So why are sponsors sometimes reluctant to adopt e-consent?
Here again, there's the weight of tradition. They may also anticipate resistance from local IRBs, which in their eyes could cause delays.
Well, those are legitimate concerns. What might you say to a sponsor to persuade them to take another look at e-consent?
Sponsors shouldn't assume that an IRB will reject this method. Simply put, an IRB's priority is patient safety. Patient safety starts with their understanding of the trial and all of the inherent risks involved. As I mentioned before, this is where e-consent can offer more protection through a step-by-step online experience. Sponsors can achieve tremendous time and cost savings. E-consent eliminates the cost involved in chasing that paper trail, reducing the research team's time involved in the consent process. E-consent can also provide real-time recruitment rates to study sponsors. This is very important when studies cannot risk going over set enrollment goals. Sponsors can also more accurately project future recruitment with this kind of real-time reporting.
Based on everything you said, do you think the future of e-consent looks bright?
Absolutely, and I look forward to talking about this more during our panel.
Thank you, Brittany, and thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us on Tuesday, September 25th at 11:15 a.m. for our panel session entitled More Than Checking Boxes, Integrating Electronic Informed Consent in a Compliant and Ethical Way. Cal Collins, the CEO of Open Clinica, will moderate the panel. We're honored to welcome six experts, including Brittany, as our panelists for the hour. We hope to see you there. You can visit scdm2018.org for conference information, and visit blog.openclinica.com for more eClinical insights.